It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today we're joined by Sean Lusk. Sean is Vice President, Commercial Hedging at Walsh Trading. Sean, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tony. Glad to be here.
Okay, let's find out a little about Sean and your pathway to Walsh Trading. Did it start on a farm? Did it start in ag? How'd you get there?
I started on the trading floor at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange in 1993, where I went to school down in Southern Illinois, and I necessarily wasn't going to come into commodities, but fell in love with the business and the trading floor and the noise and the fast-paced action. And after graduating college, I got a job down there as a runner, became a clerk, and eventually became a member, filling orders in the trading pits. And since then, you know, about 2005, a lot of that went away. The open outcry trading, everything went electronic. So I transitioned to working for my clearing firm at the time and working at the energy desk. And then a few years later, working with the grain and livestock brokers there. And then, you know, eventually worked my way to Walsh in 2013. And, you know, I'm still here almost 13 years later. Okay. So, and I do a weekly grain webinar every Thursday at 3 o'clock Central. That is static. And then we have a big livestock division. We cover that on webinar every Tuesday at 3:15. And then we post market commentaries all over the place, training game plans, hedge and spec ideas, that type of thing. So always in front of it, kind of a nerd that way, and kind of just kind of watching, spreads, the relationships between futures and options, the roles, that type of thing, and kind of, you know, providing our best guess on what's going to happen here and where to be positioned in the market. Not just on a seasonal basis, but on, you know, basically catch longer term protracted moves in the market.
Well, let's talk markets now. And, again, what a rally we've been watching here. You look at year to date and every row crop now is in positive territory.
That's right.
I think we've been led by rough rice. That's at the top. Number two has been somewhat of a surprise. It's the wheat market, and we saw a higher close on Thursday for Kansas City, for Chicago, Minneapolis, all higher. What's driving this market?
It's just the shipments that have been compromised and remain disrupted in the Black Sea has really taken hold here. And even as of last week, Chicago, in the Chicago contract, managed money, trying to index following funds, were still net short. They finally threw in the towel and went long as wheat market went limit up yesterday. We've had a little follow-through off that move today. The big news here is that, you know, at least the latest news is, you know, you've had the Russians who just kind of walked away from any kind of negotiation again for either a temporary ceasefire or a cease of all military operations altogether. That just doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon. And more to the point, looks like it may escalate even further. So you had a limit up move. You've had strong verbiage from the Russian president about that. On top of the fact, domestically here, you had a very, very poor Kansas City crop. That's no new news to anybody. But, you know, with ending stocks drawn down near the low 700 million level from 920 from the previous crop year, that put a bid into the market. Now, this latest run-up of the last $1.20 from 650 Chicago up to 760 in the December count, you know, has really been mostly on geopolitical escalations. On top of the fact, on a secondary or tertiary reason would be the drought in Europe, lower crop sizes there. So fund managers overall are looking at this deal and saying, you know what, energies are in peril, a lot of questions there, food right behind it. And now you got the reemergence of a trade war with Canada. I just think there's just so much uncertainty here on top of some weather hiccups, both here and across the pond. It's driven prices higher. The path of the least resistance is still higher. And given today's December Kansas City wheat close at 822, you're sitting above 55% higher on the year from last year's calendar close. 60%, the next target up is 843. We'll see if they can take that out or at least trade up to it before the weekend here. Because I have a feeling, unless something else is announced, I don't think a lot of people are going to want to be going home short into the weekend here. So we'll see what happens. But I think a lot of those shorts have since covered, at least in the wheat market, in the space here.
Talking with Sean Lusk, Walsh Trading, it's the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express water wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express water wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express water wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report. We're talking with Sean Lusk, Walsh Trading. All right, Sean, let's talk about what's been leading the soybean sector, and it's been bean oil.
Yes, bean oil on the biofuel mandate. We did that in 25, and we saw the reemergence of that in 2026. We closed last year around 48.56 in the most actively traded bean oil contract, closing 2025. This year, we've hit almost 60% higher as well. We're sitting around a 40% higher threshold on just increased usage, increase into renewables, a mandate that's been created by the government to, crush more beans for bean oil to go into the ration, in renewable spaces like sustainable aviation fuels or other things. That's been real. Now, the funds have gotten real long there, and they pared back some positions lately due to the fact that, there could be some more refiner exemptions coming. There was a lot of rumor about that. I don't know how true it is or if it's just rumor or if they're waiting for some announcements, but it backed off the pedal a little bit. But there's also been an ease in crude oil prices. We haven't seen the surge back over $100 a barrel since the start of the war. The start of the war was as high as it's gotten, and it just goes to show you how much we're producing and exporting domestically here, the amount we're getting from Venezuela and from Canada, for that matter. We're producing a lot in the world, and I think there's a small amount of ships getting through the strait. And in the weeks and months to come, they're going to be, there's going to be strategies with new pipelines being built and new routes being taken to get crude moving, so we're not stuck in a stalemate or held hostage to what's going on in the Strait of Hormuz. But you're right, the beans themselves, the funds are clearly, there's been an edict from the government here, in my opinion. I'm not, trying to say anything. I'm just saying beans have been supported by this administration. They want higher bean prices. They've clearly wanted better trade deals with China, where last year was 12 million metric tons for the 25-26 crop year. This year it's up to 25 million. And we've seen China aggressively buy here week in, week out. And that's certainly supported to the market, supported for the market. And I look for that to continue into when China, if and when they come to town at the end of September, I believe on the 24th, if I might be incorrect on that, but I think that's the date. I don't think the funds are going to back off the position until they have something, or until that meeting takes place in late September. And, crop size is still an issue here, and the crop ratings that we see week in, week out are not getting any better. They're staying neutral to a little bit worse as far as production standpoint, even though the USDA numbers weren't that bullish at all.
I'm kind of wondering, though, how does this work back into the corn market? Beans higher 9 out of the last 10 sessions. They went 6 sessions higher before a pullback.
Right.
And look what corn did, 6 sessions higher and a little pullback on Thursday. Where do we go from here?
I think next stop up is going to be about 550, 551 on the December contract. That represents 25% higher on the year. We just blew out an old gap at 525 that had been sitting there. It seems to me, and this is really where the fear is, Tony, that, Pro Farmer came out with their, annual look at where the crop is, and they gave a real bullish number at 173. I don't think anybody was looking for that. USDA wasn't much more, was in the low 180s, you know, well off of what we saw last year. But now there's question marks as we get later in the season. And these weekly condition ratings are certainly subjective, meaning they can change in a, you know, in a New York minute, but they deteriorated again this week. And it gives a little more credence to what Pro Farmer was saying. Now, the geopolitical stuff and all this other noise that comes in and out of the market at a moment's notice, and certainly on an overnight basis most times or over the weekend, can adjust that thinking depending on the announcement. But, I mean, for right now, this, even though they took some, you know, they stepped off the gas a little bit today, we were only at 3 cents lower. We hit 37.5 on a daily high. I think the funds taken to the next percentage level. Consider this. The funds really don't know a bushel of corn from a phone booth, and they don't care either. They're going to trade percentage levels, Fibonacci retracements, and some other technical factors. But 25% higher on the year brings us into the low 550s. I think that's where we go near term here before we get to month end, or before Labor Day weekend.
Talking with Sean Lusk, Walsh Trading. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Our guest is Sean Lusk, Walsh Trading. All right, Sean, next big report that we'll be dealing with here in the markets is the September WASD. Any thoughts?
I think you're going to have a couple of days where they're going to take some profits. The longs have the profit. They have the risk in the market. Funds are long, probably, you know, around 300,000 contracts. It's not a record long, but it's certainly sizable. Beans, meal, bean oil, even now the wheat, you're approaching probably close to 700 to 750,000 longs among six contracts here. Pretty sizable into a big report. So I look for maybe one more run up here. And I think once we get into September, you're going to have stuff backing off because, you know, as all those things you mentioned are certainly all true, and it's the stuff we don't know. Crop size, you know, due to this, due to that, pollination issues aside, you know, we're at some pretty lofty levels here, and they're going to back off going into that report. Might be the day of the report, might be a few days before, but the lungs will ease off and take some profits here. We've seen that time and time again. And we're getting close to harvest, too, so that's right around the corner, particularly after China comes to town.
All right, Sean, before we let you go, how do we find you and Walsh Trading?
Anybody can go to our website, walshtrading.com. I post commentary on barchart.com about 3 days a week. I can be reached at on our website, walshtrading.com, or slusk@walshtrading.com.
Okay. Sean Lusk, Vice President of Commercial Hedging at Walsh Trading. And this is the Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.